name is Mark Philwood, type 1 diabetic since U.S. postage stamps were 24 cents.
I'm Dobie Maxwell. Since the Pony Express was in business, I am type 2. Welcome to our show. It's our group discussion about the fastest growing disease on Earth.
Yes, it is. And that is, yeah, he's right.
Forget you, cancer. We're number one.
We're moving up anyway. We made the top 10 officially as a disease. The problem being, you die of the ancillary issues, the side roads of diabetes take you out.
Well, we're here to keep you alive as long as humanly possible.
Yeah, with the exception of this next 30 minutes, you're kind of on your own. Otherwise, now today, we're up in the holidays, and so very special guest again from Frederick South. Did I get that right?
Yes, we
have Donna Swanson here today, again, friend of the show.
Welcome back. She gave us credibility for all those times when she was busy with her career. And if they could please come back, Donna, we want to have our show continue. So thanks for being here.
Oh, something about, responsibility and, what's the other word I'm looking for, intelligence.
We always want to say we like to have fun, but we want to make fun. This is a very serious thing that we talk about, and we're in no way mocking anybody. But sometimes you have to come with a human touch because it's a very scary thing when someone hears they have a diagnosis or someone in your family has it. So we want to open up the doors without being clinical.
And we are on the brink of the holidays. And this will be our – well, next month will be our, third – annual Christmas extravaganza, three, four?
Well, call the Smithsonian. Call the Broadcast Museum.
Lordy, it's getting there. They're readying the time capsule as we speak. Jump right into some news. We have so much to talk about with Donna. We'll get through the holidays and the future of insulin. The future of diabetes in general. Dobie, what are they going to be eating in the 23rd century? What are they going to look like?
Soylent Green is people.
There goes the rest of the movie.
It's a pretty obscure reference if you don't know it. You've seen the movie.
No, I'm far too young for that.
Okay.
Anyway. That's
what we'll be eating.
As far as this show, we can get right into the news. All of a sudden, it's turning into a very expensive, trendy disease, this diabetes, Dobie. $327 billion will be spent on it this year, give or take. A good portion of that outside of the hospital visits and all the lost wages and things like that.
Not to mention the equipment.
Again. Actually, equipment's coming down. We'll talk about that. It depends on how you get there, but it is a very cost-intensive.
Do you see it like me, though, on the street corner? You know, I buy houses and a phone number. I buy diabetic equipment. But I'm not lying. It's really there.
Really?
Yes. I was going to take a picture and show it to you. Yes.
I think on 31 or
I've seen it
right here
many places. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Son of a gun.
Yeah. So if you have any and you want to make a couple of bucks.
Or you pass down and they want your equipment. That's, yeah, oops.
I wouldn't trust it.
No.
No. Stay away from the street corners.
Don't take a check.
Yes. But for watches, I find it's a very good place. Uh-huh. But never the first guy, always the third. This year, figure it's going up 20-30% a year. Some of the numbers in particular about insulin, people are becoming aware of the intensive price increases over the last 20 years or so. Mm-hmm. I remember forgot my insulin. On the road, it's not like I shot up 3-4 times a day, but I forget it and I'm on the road. And I was able to buy a whole vial, and back then the vial, the 90s, $23-24. The hard part, syringes. I could not lay my hands on a syringe there. I was in Illinois. In Illinois, you need to have a special, I don't know.
An ID?
I guess. But then again, that's where that corner market might come in handy for the syringes.
So you couldn't get medicine. That's dangerous, isn't it?
He trusted me with one. It was a Walgreens in Chicago. At like 2 in the morning, on my way to wherever I was traveling. And he saw the desperation on my face. And so he gave me a syringe. So that was nice. Thank you very much.
Well, that's not out of line, is it?
Totally out of line. Because at that time, if I didn't have all the ID necessary, and I didn't have all the ID, because lordy, I was going out of state, what would I need that for? Mm-hmm. But it's quite cumbersome to get a syringe in some states. Hmm. Unless California, fall from the sky.
Well, we don't broadcast in California yet, so.
Well, no, we've been offending people throughout the entire contiguous and other states.
Okay.
That's good news for them. The gist of it is, here's according to the AADA's recent study, and we finally have a recent study. Most of these numbers we've been talking about, Dobie, 5-6 years old were the new ones. These are the new ones from last year. An average diabetic spent, on average again, $16,752 on medical costs. Half of that, more than half of that, 57%, is related to the treatment, including the diabetic medications. Frederick Banting, the guy who invented the insulin back in 22 or 23. Matter of fact, we just passed his 140th birthday.
See, I got a day off work. I don't know about you.
He got nothing.
Got no mail. The banks
that
were closed.
Great recognition for National Diabetes Month.
I mean, it really is. So he knew how to do it. So the gist of it is he's just passed on this week, or at least the week that we're recording this. And insulin back then, they sold the entire patent. It was a buck a piece, three different patents to the government of Canada. They promptly doubled the cost of the insulin to $2. But the whole point was everybody had access to the insulin and could afford it.
Mm-hmm.
Today, well, we're going to have another talk about in a future show, because there are some people out there making lots of noises about diabetic costs, in particular insulin. So we'll get them on the show. But the bottom line is people are even talking about rationing insulin. We'll talk about that again. The whole point of it is,
let's get out of hand, follow the money. If there's money involved,
yeah,
corruption follows.
Always time. One more quick the news thing here. Recent studies, two studies, examined the relationship between diabetes and hearing loss.
What did you say?
I tee it up high and you swang away fine. 2018 study, National Institutes of Health, diabetic participants were found to be more than twice as likely to have mild to moderate hearing loss than those without the disease. So the occurrence of the high-frequency hearing loss, more prevalent in diabetics, 54%, non-diabetics, 32%, and they can eat candy whenever they want. So let's take the break here. We'll come back. We'll welcome in Donna fully into the conversation, and we'll be talking about, well, the Libre. Is that how I said that right, Libre? I love rolling the tongue whenever possible. Gives a show that,
yes,
that trendy savoir faire.
Well, big south of the border.
Take a break. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the Diabetic Show. Mark Bill with Type 1.
Bill B. Maxwell, Type 2.
And with us, a very special guest from Frederick South. Is that what the title is, or the building you're in? It's called Frederick South?
Yes, we are Frederick South Hospital System.
Okay, welcome again to the show, Donna Swanson. And Donna, kind of fill us in again. It's been a few shows. What do you do for Frederick South?
I am the coordinator, and I'm a registered nurse, certified diabetic educator. So, and
that's a big title.
Yeah.
I hope you get a good parking space with a title like that. You better fill out the long tax form with that.
The good parking spaces for our patients.
Very good.
We get front row.
Actually, she's right. I visited her. I felt bad parking in the pregnant only slot.
You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
A fake limp is a fake limp.
So, anyway, again, welcome to the show, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
And I know you do a lot of talking. You almost do interviews with diabetics as they come into you fresh, so to speak. They have all their questions, and you have all the answers.
Well, some. The first time somebody comes to us, we usually sit down and assess, and that patient shares with us their concerns, and we look at their overall health. And how long they've had diabetes. So we see a broad spectrum. And every person with diabetes is a unique individual, and we individualize their care plan around their specific needs. So we seldom see two people that have the exact same needs.
Interesting. Similar questions, though, I'm sure, with the disease.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, like for summer, how do you keep it from being too hot, or in the winter, keeping it from freezing, or what happens?
Right.
Yeah, but similarities. But what I noticed, I've been through the program with you. Very, very nice. Thank you for dealing with that, too. Very nice.
Oh,
that's
my pleasure.
And it gave me a lot of direction. It also gave me the idea of where I need to go and how to get there. So that's what I gathered from it. Now, we're coming up through the holidays. What's your questions? I'm sure you've had some this week concerning the holiday. How do you deal with it, being a diabetic type 1 or 2?
Well, you know, the one thing, if I had to say there was one thing in common for most of my patients that come in as the holidays near, even before Halloween, we started getting it, where patients start panicking a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They go through this, oh, what can I have? I can't have anything. It's going to suck. I'm going to be, you know, I mean, the whole anxiety over the holidays. And
trick or treat for kohlrabi.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not, and it doesn't have to be a life of depravity. What I recommend for, Halloween's behind us, so we won't deal with Halloween. But we got Thanksgiving right around the corner, and Christmas right around the corner. So one of my favorite tips to share with patients, and we get a lot of these tips from other people with diabetes as well, is try to have Thanksgiving dinner ready by noon.
Really? That,
yes. Because then you don't want to get all of your calories and all your carbohydrates in one meal. I mean, ironically, we see heart attack, stroke, all these go up, these cardiovascular events, these serious life-threatening cardiovascular events go up around the holidays. Traditionally,
really?
Yes, ERs get packed around the holidays with strokes and heart attacks. And there's good reason for it. We have this huge meal, so anybody who's at risk for a cardiovascular event is now consumed a huge meal. If they're sedentary, they're ripe for a cardiovascular event to occur. So we want to address that. If we have diabetes, we already know we're at higher risk to have a cardiovascular event in most cases or many cases. So the way we reduce it is we don't want to get all of our food or all of our calories and carbs in one setting. So what we do, have Thanksgiving dinner ready by noon. Then I'm going to carb count out. I can have half a cup of mashed potatoes, half a cup of maybe dressing or stuffing. And then I have my 3 to 4 ounces of turkey. Then
3 to 4 ounces.
Yes. You have more than that, you're going to be tired anyway. You'll be unbuttoning your buckle. So
Mark then, comes to the table with his button unbuckled.
Actually, he does.
Then,
yeah.
Then you have room for your green bean casserole. And then instead of the pecan pie, try pumpkin pie, because pumpkin pie is about a third of the carbs and calories that you're going to get out of pecan.
I never would have guessed that.
So
why is it? Just curious.
It's just, well, a pumpkin is a vegetable base, mm-hmm. or puree, or
right.
base, I should say. So, and pecan has lots of high refined carbs,
yeah.
sugar. Mm. Yeah. So it's going to be a lot, you're going to get a much bigger blood sugar spike from pecan pie than you would pumpkin
Didn't
pie.
Didn't know that.
So what we traditionally do, and if you're doing half a cup of potatoes, half a cup of dressing, that's most of your carb for that meal. That's only 30 grams of carb right there. Then you add in your pumpkin pie. It depends on how many carbs you get for that meal. What the average person is, what, 40? I mean, a short woman could be 30 to 45. Taller man, 45 to 60.
But
you got plenty of room there.
But you see, the problem with what you're throwing here, all these facts are, okay, what do they say? 2,000 calories in a day? Between 18 and 2,500, I guess, depending on your size.
Depends on the person.
Exactly.
How active they are, too, is a big factor.
But that one meal has been rated over 2,500, I've seen, 3,000 calories, one you toss mm-hmm. on.
You got a Diet Pepsi, too, with it.
Oh, well, please.
Well,
wash,
you know, ideally,
that down.
Okay, so your dessert, you know, the pumpkin pie. So we've got some choices. We could do half a piece with that meal. And portions are real important.
See,
so
that's the thing.
That's, yeah. So, I mean, I'm talking half a cup. I'm saying measure out half a cup. Don't sit and just spoon it on your plate. And
I got to toss this on you. I got to interrupt. What's helped me a lot, smaller plates.
Yes. Salad size.
It's so
yes,
true. I
it
mean,
is.
It gets brimming. And then
yes,
you mentally you're seeing
all you
brain.
Can fit on a quarter.
Oh,
you
yep,
can eat.
Oh, God. It's just so wrong. It hurts.
That's the perfect way to do it. And then you don't have to deprive yourself of all your favorites, because now you got two meals you can split it up in between. So now if I miss something at lunch that I really want, but I didn't have enough room in my plate or carb, you know, I would surpass my carb allowance, then I just save that for dinner.
See?
And then you get plenty of leftover, so you can enjoy that meal day after day after day.
Until May 7th.
May.
Now, how does alcohol play a role? Now, with me growing up, it was Aunt Bessie in the kitchen with Grandma Sybil, and that cold duck be poured. You know, you get that
yep,
the plastic thing, yeah.
So alcohol, you want to be careful around the holidays. It can actually lower blood sugar.
A lot of people don't realize that. They think it would
yeah,
go the other way, but very true.
Yeah, and you always want to make sure you're eating and testing more frequently. And a lot of times people do the opposite when they're drinking alcohol. They get full off the alcohol if they're drinking beer or, you know, something that has a lot of volume to it.
And then we proceed to make possibly the best choices of our lives, depending on what questions are asked upon us during that time. So, yeah, I can see that. Little tidbit there, Dobie. The number one drinking day of the year?
I would say New Year's Eve.
Everybody would say that, and it would be second. It would be Thanksgiving Eve. the night before Thanksgiving.
Oh, football, I suppose. No.
The night before they see Aunt Esther and Uncle Fred, you know, and they're sitting.
Stress?
They're addressing the stress.
A lot of in-laws situations there. You have in-laws?
Yes.
I'm sure you get along very well with them. I'm sure.
I do, actually.
Wink, wink.
I'm blessed.
Okay.
But you know what? I missed one tip, too.
Please.
So when you start the day on any holiday, if you have diabetes, especially type 2, I would say start the day with a walk. Some studies and some people would say do your walk after a meal.
Ooh, better get that. Might be the phone.
No, that's okay.
That's Tom Turkey pleading for...
I'm being towed. Please, go right ahead.
I would say any time of day you can get that walk in, but I would start it at the beginning of the day so you don't forget. And because people get busy during the day, and then it gets pushed to the side and it gets procrastinated on in many cases.
That's my biggest slip-up as a diabetic. And I don't know about you, Dobie, because you do the ship tours, you do your stand-ups. And
well, usually what happens is I say, okay, drive me 6 minutes from home and drop me off, and if I want to eat, I'll find my way back. So I have to walk home.
That's smart. You
know? Either I get home or I starve. Those are the two choices. No Uber, no cheating, no bus.
Well, I know you've been on the road for a long time, Dobie. You did a lot of the ship stuff.
Yes.
When you're doing the ships, is it easier to manage with such a buffet situation? Or
yes, because it's the same buffet. The menu, there's 27 ships on the line that I work for, and the Monday's this, Tuesday's that, Wednesday's that. So I've seen it. There's really not a lot of temptation there. I know I'm out there, so I'm pretty good at eating an apple a day and salads. And yeah, I find it easier.
Cool. I tell you what,
at home when you go nuts because everything's there.
It's the ports. Yeah, Lordy, how many times are you going to tell those port stories? Yeah, it's true. Before we go to the break, though, if you can give your best advice, and these are great. What's that one extra tip you can give them that'll get them over the, okay, I'm not going to finish that. I'm going to leave that 4 perfectly good ounces of turkey on the plate soaked in gravy.
How about if I give you a little wrap up? I'd say start the day with a walk, good half hour,
okay,
and a holiday. Then watch your portions, start your meals early, get dinner ready by noon so you can spread out those carbs throughout the day, 2 meals rather than putting it all into one. Then once you make your plate, watch those portions. Don't exceed half a cup on any, like, potatoes, stuffing, that sort of thing. Desserts, stay away from the high-concentrated sweet desserts. Opt for, say, pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, things like that instead. And then watch the carbs on those. If you're going to be doing dessert, you might have to cut back in another area on a different dessert. And then once you've made your plate, after watching the portions, turn your back to wherever the food's being served.
That's the question I needed to answer. Thank you.
Get away from it.
Start your day with a walk, end your day with a stint.
We don't want that.
No.
Let's take the break here. Finally, as far as when it comes to any family arguments, does that add?
Oh, yes.
Can we throw that into the exercise category? Because I have the uncle with the wagon finger and guy.
So we all know that stress affects blood sugar.
Yes.
And it increases blood pressure as well. So those two factors are not good. So we want to avoid those hot-button topics.
Donald
Trump. Whoever likes politics,
don't say those
religion.
Are right.
I mean, all these
things. Seriously.
Stay away from them. If you have a relative that can't stay away from it, yep, oh, I hear you. Okay, just don't entertain it.
So in other words,
you can be polite without entertaining and engaging.
So you're telling people to act like a customer service from any major cable company in the cup, where they'll just let you spew it out and go, yeah.
Face down in the stuffing. That's what they go.
I really appreciate your opinion on that. That's great.
Your ridiculous, insulin-laden opinion.
Let's take the break here. We'll come back. And I want to talk about the future. I mean, because diabetic, it's come a long way. It's getting very exciting times.
Yeah.
So we'll take the break here, come right back. Donna Swanson from Frederick South and Dobie Maxwell. This is The Diabetic Show. Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, type 1. Oh, before we go any further, next month we'll have the big third annual holiday show. And special guests. Boy, I don't even want to give it away.
Floats, caroling, the whole shot. It's going to be a big deal.
The whole thing. And honestly, we have producer Troy McDonald. Troy, this year you're going to be the VIP concierge. So you take care of all their needs. Anything they ask for, you make it happen. And then, of course, we don't have the money up front. Just submit your receipts. I'll keep all the receipts. All right. I understand the Oprah is pretty... I hope I just didn't ruin anything there. But anyway, Dobie Maxwell, please.
Type 2, if you'd like to join us via the internet, the website we have, thediabeticshow.com. Also, we're on the Facebook.
On the Facebook, and ask your questions there. And we're getting some really good ones. And it gives us ideas. It gives us where to go from here. And so far, well, like, with the exception of the intelligence, they're on board. So,
well, if you have any questions, and thanks to Donna Swanson bringing in pamphlets. At first, I thought she was trying to convert me religiously. She passed out two pamphlets, but these are very, very important. I think George Jetson and technology have met diabetes. Donna, could you tell us about the future of continuous glucose monitoring?
CGMs, yes. If you will.
Yes, they're commonly referred to as CGMs, as Mark said. We got two of them on the market right now that are the main players in that game, and one is the Abbott Freestyle Libre, and the other one is the Dexcom G6. Both of them are to the person with diabetes that is very sick of poking their finger. Mm-hmm. Both these devices take care of that. They get rid of finger poke.
I mean, my life before this was, well, you do that finger prick before breakfast, a couple hours after breakfast, just before lunch, just a couple hours after lunch, and then don't forget that one just before you go to sleep.
So we can fully appreciate this technology, let's talk about what it was 100 years ago to have diabetes. Okay, let's look at like the timeline a little bit. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So 100 years ago, if somebody had type 1, the life expectancy was around a year, right?
Right.
Type 2,
a year.
Was around
a year from
a
diagnosis.
Year from diagnosis.
You'd be dead, buddy.
Around
dead man walking.
Type 2 was around 6 to 7 years, riddled with complications. Mm-hmm. And there's different estimates out there, but those are ballpark. Okay. So that being the case, back then, before insulin, before even glucose monitors, patients would have to go to the doctor, do a blood test. That was their only measure.
That was their only blood glucose reading.
It was based on how they felt. Patients were routinely put on starvation diets, things like that, to treat their diabetes, which is why the fatality rates were so high and the complications were so prevalent. So now we fast forward. Now we have insulin. That was a lifesaver and a big game changer. So now this is the first generation where we're actually seeing patients live full lives with type 1 and type 2 diabetes. So we're seeing people, it's the first time in history. It's the most amazing group of patients that I work with. I mean, I love all my patients, but really I'm the people that just blow my mind are patients who have lived with their diabetes 50 years or more because they've seen it all. They were peeing on sticks to see how much sugar was in their urine. And
I do that
they
now.
Did tablets. Stop. But seriously, like, the technology has come so far. So when they came out with glucose monitors and a finger poke, these people didn't bat an eye on it. They were the people out there.
The troopers.
Yeah, they were.
First gen.
First responders.
They were paving the way for everybody else, and they were, oh, this is no big deal. This is great. I can see what's happening with my blood sugar now. They were excited. They were motivated. And all because many of those patients that I talked to that have had it 50-plus years were told by their physician that they probably would not live past 20 years old.
Wow.
So when you look at it from that perspective, and then fast forward to where we are now, the finger stick doesn't look so bad.
All of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now we've even come further. So now when we have talk about glucose monitoring systems, it's gotten to the point to where they've really – I trialed one of these Libres, and I can tell you, it goes on the back of your arm, your upper arm. It's about the size of a quarter. You can't feel it. I mean, I forgot it was there. And all day long, all you'd want to do is you press a button and scan this little reader in front of it. And it shows you what your blood sugar is.
Just like that.
I mean, it's reading the interstitial fluid, but it's very, very close to what your blood sugar is. So it's highly accurate for a continuous glucose sensor.
Okay, then what about the actual sensor itself? Like you said, it's about a quarter size.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's some type of application that you kind of hold it
to
your...
Yeah, it's like literally you press a button.
And it's on.
And it's on. Yep. It is so simple to use. It is unreal. And it's pain-free. Like, I could not feel it. I forgot it was there most of the time. The only time, because, you know, it's like when cell phones first came out, everybody was all excited and you couldn't keep your hands off it. And there's kids still, you can't get their eyes off their cell phones. But that's what it's like when you get one of these. All you want to do is scan it all day. You want to know what your blood sugar is at all times.
Because
you have
happy.
This instant live data.
Oh, my God.
And it's just so incredible. So the, and it's so accurate. Back in the day with continuous glucose monitoring systems, you had to calibrate these.
Right.
And so you'd have to do a finger stick to sort of give it its baseline. Because a CGM is really a sensor that's reading interstitial fluid, the glucose level in the interstitial fluid, which is the fluid that is between the bloodstream and the cell. So it's telling us what direction our blood sugar is going. You know, is blood sugar going up or down based on the direction of where that glucose is headed? So these continuous glucose monitors are so accurate right now that they replace a finger stick. They're that accurate to
how
what
long
blood sugar should be.
Does the sensor last before you replace it?
Great, great question. It is for both devices 10 days.
10
but
days
actually,
now.
The Libre just came out with a 14-day sensor.
See, I remember talking about this a year or two ago, and it was maybe 7 days, and people were kind of tweaking to see if they could stretch it to 10. And
yep.
Now it's 10 going to 14?
Yep.
Do you see a time when it's going to
replace?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I if I had to guess, I mean, I'm not an expert on CGMs as far as, like, I'm not working for the drug companies. I have experience with these devices because people are loving them, and we're seeing a lot more of them now. So myself included, I love these devices. They're just incredible game changers.
Now, when you make that, again, the radio is lacking with the visual, you make the swiping motion to your upper arm as it sits on the outer part.
Yep.
What are you swiping?
Okay, so you press the button. So you imagine your cell phone. You press the power button on your cell phone, and you swipe it over where that little quarter-sized sensor is, and it beeps. It goes beep, and then it's going to tell you what it's going to read on the front of your reader, which pretend it's your cell phone. It's going to read what your blood sugar is.
Can you incorporate this into the smartphone? Does it link?
Yes. Some, like the Dexcom G6 can be set up so that your cell phone is the receiver.
Really?
So that one you don't have to. So the one I was just describing, that's the Libre.
And that has a proprietary sensor that you scan.
Yes.
Okay.
That one has to be scanned. Now, Dexcom, that one you don't have to scan at all. It gives you live data. It's taking a reading.
It's like a Bluetoothy
constantly.
Kind of a connect. I mean, it's.
I just got a text from my pancreas.
Boom, it called. It's crying.
Put the Kringle down, stupid.
It's all you got to do is look at your cell phone. You download the app, and it's there.
Okay.
All of your blood sugar, you can see the trend. If it's going up, down, it gives you arrows. It'll alarm if you're trending down, like you're going to go low.
Right.
So you can see. Now, with the Libre, so they have the pros and cons to both. Libre, very nice device. I love the device. It's great. But you do have to scan. It's not going to alarm you if you're trending down or going low. It'll show you if you scan an arrow showing which way it's going. But Dexcom, so for somebody who, say, goes hypoglycemic at night or struggles with a lot of hypoglycemia, Dexcom will, the G6, that one will actually alarm. You can program it to, like if your blood sugar gets below 80, it's going to alarm and gives you that warning before you even get to 70.
Well, I can tell you as an older diabetic, that's the first thing that goes, it seems, is the sensitivity to lows for a lot of diabetics.
Yes.
So it's very important.
Especially if somebody can't feel their lows anymore.
Exactly.
It's very challenging. You want that warning.
Hey, we're getting fingers. How many? We have one? One, two, one. Oh, that one finger. Thank you so much, Troy. Well, the point of it is we're going to have somebody from Abbott in before too long. We'll be going over the Libre. It's just so exciting, especially being as a diabetic. So,
And that one's actually covered by Medicare, too, which is
just
huge.
Started. That's right. It just came out recently.
Yeah, they're both. And Dexcom, I believe, is covered by Medicaid. So, I mean, they're getting insurance coverage. If somebody has commercial insurance, you check with your insurance or just call the company and They'll do all the legwork for
Sounds
you.
Great. Sorry, we're running into the wall again of time. Donna Swanson, Frederick South, Dobie Maxwell.
Interesting show today. Email us if you have questions.
Facebook, thediabeticshow.com. You'll get there from here. Diabetic Show.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back again.
This is WGTD.